children this morning. Would you raise your hand? I guess I got a lady here and got a lady back there. Did you know that's the most important classes in this church building? As I look out, most of us are on our way out. But that'll be the church of tomorrow. Sisters, train them well. I make that point because we train young ladies to be the best Bible class teachers of the children and ladies' classes that they can be and keep their God-given role. But remember, when you see ladies in the graduation, they're teachers instead of preachers. To the extreme left, Sister Phyllis Bush is our full-time secretary. The Lord knew we needed that young lady. She retired from the junior college and came and worked with us, and she's underpaid, brethren. She does a good work for the Lord. Miss Linda, she said, send her regards. I took her to Arkansas week before last and kept her out about 4 or 5 days. We left on Saturday and got back on Thursday. We were in Hope on Sunday. You know who's from Hope, Arkansas, don't you? And then we came back up to Prescott, Arkansas, and we stayed there and visited some folks Monday and Tuesday. Wednesday, we went to Texarkana with the Hampton Road Church. And then Thursday morning, we drove hard all day Thursday and got home about 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon. She didn't go with me last Sunday, and she said, I'm not going when we get to Missouri. She said, that trip's too long. I wore her out. But she sent her regards, and Brother Haskins, she especially said to you, you were a wonderful person to work with, and she works with a lot of folks, you know, in making my appointments. She said you was one of the easier ones to work with, and sent her regards. Behind me, Brother Steve Shapley, he preaches for the Beans Ferry congregation and works part-time through the week with us, and we're very thankful for him. We say that we're training preachers and teachers in their language, culture, and country. I'm going to show you some culture pictures here in just a moment. All schools use the same curriculum. We have 18 schools in 11 countries. This month, the first Saturday in August, we have begun 2 new schools in Nigeria. And you'll see those directors in just a moment. In that curriculum, we have some secular classes, 2 English classes, 2 computer classes, and an economics class. Those are only designed to help the preacher be a better provider for his family. You see, we do not pay students to come to school. If you pay a student to come to school, you'll never know why he's there until he graduates. Then the story will be told. If he was coming just because you paid him money, what will happen? He'll never preach. He'll never be concerned about establishing a church. He was coming for the money. But if we give them a full scholarship, we do that because of brethren like you. We have graduated over 500 preachers and teachers of the gospel, and not a single one of them ever paid Global Missions one single penny for their training. But by the same token, we gave them a full scholarship, but we did not pay them to come to school. They have to invest in their training. And we do that to help those students be a better provider. Most of our students are not. If they're on American money, it was before they came to us, usually. And we don't get into that, but we do not pay students after they graduate. Those lines, the black lines, show where we're located. The top line goes to Minsk, Belarusia. The next 2 to the Ukraine. Coming down, San Cristobal, Mexico. We have 3 schools in Mexico and 2 in the Ukraine. We had so many Guatemalans getting up at 1 and 2 o'clock coming to a school in Cocalatan till we started a school in Guatemala. The third line is Nicaragua. We have 2 schools there, 1 north of Managua and 1 south. The next line is a new school, and you'll see a little of it in just a moment, in San Ramon, Costa Rica. That school started the first Saturday in August of last year. Coming down to Lima, Peru, and then those 4 lines coming to Africa. That top line is 2 new schools that began classes the first Saturday in August, which is in Nigeria. And then the next line is Cameroon, and the next line, 2 schools in Sierra Leone, and 2 in the bottom line of Liberia. Cameroon was the first school last year, the new school that we began. It began the first Saturday in January. And brethren, there's a culture picture. Those hogs are alive too, by the way. They really had them hog-tied. That's plantain on the left. They're taking them to market, I suppose. That little fellow's making brick for us, one at a time, and the Lord has to do the drying. And that's their brick kiln. The Lord's the brick kiln over there with the sun. Another culture picture. I didn't see any barbed wire fence. They shepherd their flock, I guess, because they stand around them while they graze, and then they'll just move them down the road, and of course the traffic stops. Over to the left, Prince Ituin. Prince is the only director of a school who ever came to our office begging us to work with them and asking us, I should say, to work with them in training preachers and teachers. He had 16 or 17 young men ready to be trained. And we worked with him. We gave him the guidelines, the curriculum. We got him lined up. He's the director. He has another brother or two that works with him as teachers. And the school began before Brother Mark Barker, there standing between us. Mark, I would like to ask you to remember Mark Barker in your prayers. This is late February, early March of last year when we're visiting the school. He's teaching the agriculture classes. I'm teaching the book of Ephesians, Church One Glorious Body. He traveled back to Africa sometime after we were there, to another country, Gambia, I believe it is. Not positive. Gambia, Guyana, or not Guyana, but Ghana or some country. And he got something. He stayed with a family where they churned their milk. And he thinks that's where he caught the parasite. And doctors here can't really tell him what he has. And he sent me a picture showing his bloodstream, and it looked like a little tadpole in the bloodstream. He went to UAB last week, and a doctor drew blood. They're hoping to find that. The doctors gave him 2 years to live if they do not find out what that is in his bloodstream. So pray for Mark and remember him. That's Prince, one of Prince's teachers there. Those other two brothers, and by the way, that's Prince's little ones there, decked out in their little dress, white and orange-looking dress, twins, I believe. The one in the green shirt and lavender vest drove all night, Sunday night, and they arrived at Prince's at 1:30 Monday afternoon. We're arriving about 5 to 5:30. They made all that trip from Nigeria just to talk to me about working with them in training preachers. One of them had 20-something students ready to be trained. That's the two directors who started two different schools. They are about 7 hours apart in the country of Nigeria, the first Saturday in August of this year. There's the classroom. I'm taking notes for Miss Linda, and I took them back home, brought them back home, and she put a little tomato plant in a flower pot, and we ate tomatoes off that for about 3 weeks, and she did a good job. She really took note of Mark's notes that I took. Mark there is showing them the tomato plants. He had sent tomato seed over by Prince while he visited the States. They planted them. They've germinated. They're up, and now they have beds. You can see them behind them, and over to behind them on the far right. They're beds, and they're about to transplant those plants from their bed out into the seed bed. I'm teaching the book of Ephesians. Now we're coming to San Ramon, the second school that we started last year. We started it the first Saturday in August of 15. It's good when brethren work together. I was told that 4 or 5 different church families, some of those brethren from 4 or 5 churches, came together, took out petitions, put a new floor in, repainted, did all the work just so we could have a classroom there in San Ramon in order to start a school. There's the ladies who prepare the food. You dare not let 15 to 25 students go their way for a 1 hour's lunch. Thus, we feed them their lunch. And we're proud to do that and have them back all at 1 o'clock. It doesn't mean they do not love the Lord. It doesn't mean that they don't want to be trained. It's their culture. And you're not going to defeat their culture just by training them one day a week. That's Ramon, the director of the school, a teacher. The others are students up that stairwell. There's a classroom setting. Now we're coming to the graduations we had last year. This first one is in Freetown, the capital of Sierra Leone. You see, I believe I've got a pointer. There's Bo, the second school, but the graduation is in Freetown. There's the graduating class. There's another picture of it with one of the teachers. There's the congregation. There in Tigbatown is the name of the church. We always have a dinner in honor of those graduating. Remember, we did not pay them to come to school. We did feed them their lunch, gave them a scholarship. But the school is dependent upon our students that we graduate. And that's the way it should be. I believe the Lord wants it that way. Because they go out establishing churches. And from those we'll draw more students. That's how the gospel reciprocates itself. That's the power of God that works. We want them to leave the school appreciating their training to where they will readily encourage other brethren to come and be trained and preach and teach the gospel. That's Brother Samuel Thompson there from the Rossroad Church in Memphis. He kids me and says he likes to go back and visit his brethren. And Samuel does a good job. You'll see his picture just keep cropping up over and over at different countries. Sierra Leone, the schools there, and Liberia. He's presenting a concordance and also a word study dictionary to the brother that we had sent him. Here's the results of 11 who graduated with a four-year diploma and 15, I believe, who graduated with an associate's degree. Baptisms between them in 12 months, those graduating, they had converted 469 souls, had 330 restorations, that includes prayer requests in the 12 months, and new congregations established while they were in school and in training. Those students, those 26 students, established among them 7 new congregations. Now we're coming to the state of Chiapas. We're in the bottom state. We've had no problems with the drug cartel and things of that nature. That's Brother John Gibbs and Jerry Taylor. John is from the Lawrenceburg, Tennessee area, and Jerry is from the Iron City and preaches for the Iron City Church there. And that's David Aguilar on the left. He's the director of the school, and that's his oldest child, a daughter that's graduating, and she teaches the children's classes in the church where David preaches. And there's a young man graduating. There's their picture with a concordance, and that concordance, is, by the way, is in Spanish. And he had 14 conversions and had established, while he was in training, 2 congregations. Now, those 14 baptisms was in the 12 months, last 12 months of his training. Now we're coming, we have 2 schools, one south, Maceo of Managua, and then one north. This graduation is in the one south, and there's Joel Bastamani. Joel was trained at Harding in Searcy, Arkansas, does an excellent, excellent work for us. And that's Brother Guy Stanley. Guy is over missions in the church at Springfield, Tennessee. The Main Street Church in Springfield supports the work. And he was willing to go over. Invited him to go and work the graduation. And when he came back, he called me and said, "Brother-in-law, I'm ready to go anywhere you need me to go." So let me encourage you. If you have any interest that you would like to go and visit and work a graduation and maybe teach a seminar, first things, get you a passport and let us know you've got that, and we'll connect you up and get you to go somewhere and help us in the work. In Nigeria, we had, I believe it was, 11 to graduate, 9 young ladies and 2 young men graduating. There's Joel, one of the teachers, and then that's Jorge with Guy there, who is the director of the school north of Managua. There's the dinner. They are enjoying the dinner we prepared. 7 baptisms, 15 restorations in prayer request, and 5 new congregations established while those young men were in training. Now we're coming to Lima, Peru. There's Brother Rick Hatfield. Rick worships and is over missions with the Central Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Because of the university there, they have a lot of teenagers and 20-odd, 30-year-odd students, and they take them on a mission trip. They took about 30-some-odd members of the congregation to work a camp setting in Lima, Peru. Lima's a city of 10 million people. There's about 5 churches among the brethren, among all the city there. There should be 4 young men and 1 young lady. The lady on the extreme left is the mother of one of our graduates. He was in the hospital and unable to come and attend the graduation. He sent his mom to receive his diploma, and we also sent him a Spanish concordance. My wife and one of our grandchildren and her friend was with the group that traveled to Lima from the Central Church there in Tuscaloosa. My wife had the privilege of sitting in on the class this lady taught, the ladies' class, and it's good to hear people be able to sit in and hear them preach and teach. And my wife came away really impressed at the class that the young lady had. She has a good Bible knowledge. There's the congregation where the graduation took place. Now, the strangest thing happened. I called her director on several occasions to get them to get a restaurant maybe and to find out where they could have a good dinner. And word came back to me, brother-in-law, they don't want a dinner. Now, wouldn't that shock you if you were trying to get them to have a dinner and word comes back that they don't want to have one? They want cakes and pies. Now, you figure that one out. But we tried to give them meet their requirements and their requests. So we got them cakes and pies, and they, you can see by the next picture, they really enjoyed them. And we were thankful. Here's their responses. 3 baptisms, 1 restoration, and no new congregations. Now, brethren, David's evangelistic. Those students will convert people. But it's harder. Seems like the larger the city, the harder it is to open doors. People get so busy and are caught up in life. Now we're coming to Liberia. We have 2 schools. I mashed the wrong button. There, you fly into Monrovia, the capital. You drive down the seacoast to Buchanan. And then you go out to Gorbli. It's about 1 hour and 45 minutes from Buchanan to Gorbli. Mark, by the way, took his hammock when he taught the agricultural classes there. And he tied it up between 2 trees and took a mosquito net. Mark Barker is a soldier of the cross. Remember, I asked you to remember Mark. There's the building. We, instead of making that trip back to Buchanan morning and evening, we built a building to where, and that's to help Maxwell, our director of the school. He goes from Liberia, Monrovia, out to Gorbli on every Friday evening and is with a school, and he's staying in the house as well, and any American who goes stays, and there's Samuel Thompson again. And there's the graduation, 1 young lady among 9 to graduate. Here's their work. In the last 12 months, they'd converted and baptized 105 souls, 40 restorations or prayer requests, and 6 new congregations established. Now we're coming back to Monrovia, the capital, and these are young men who were trained and who completed their work and they're graduating, and you can tell that they're very proud of their diploma. there's the dinner where we're planning to have the graduation students, the graduates, served. I can't help but remember Brother David Underwood. Did any of you here in the congregation remember Brother Underwood? He had polio when he was a child. He was on a build-up shoe. He was crippled. He and his wife and children lived in this upstairs. That's on the second floor. The church would meet downstairs. And he and his family were there for over 6 years. I think of John's revelation. I believe it's John 14:13. Yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors. And what follows them? Their works. Brother Maxwell Wee, our director of the school in Gorbally, was one of David's converts, and he taught him well and trained him well, and he's in their works truly follow them. Baptisms, 104, 33 restorations, prayer request, and 15 new congregations. I mentioned to Joe and to some of the elders that it would be great if the Sunset Church could be a hub for the churches around here. Look, let me show you why. Baptism, 702, that's only the graduates. That's not talking about the teachers. That's not talking about other students. That's only those graduating, and that's in the last 12 months. And 419 restorations in prayer request, and 35 new congregations. We do not build buildings. We do not support financially money, give money to those students or churches. We believe in keeping them in their culture and in their country. The gospel will bear much fruit in doing that. But we do try to help them. Brethren, there's a need for communion trays and song books. All those countries in Africa are English-speaking countries. They have no problem with our songbooks. They can open them and sing any song in them. And you'd be proud of how they can sing. Wouldn't it be great if you could be a hub for the churches and send maybe a letter out? I'm trying to plant a seed, Joe. And then get them to send them to you, and then we'll worry about getting them over. I assure you that we can get help to get them over. And we won't get into that, but it'll be no problem. It should be 6 there. I forget just which one, but we show 5. And that's the graduations for this year. And Brother John Gibbs and Jerry Taylor just came back from Mexico and Guatemala, where they had, I believe it was 3 graduations a week before last. You know, that's the Lord's work. He gets the glory. But He allows brethren who love Him and love the gospel and what He did for us through Jesus to work together to glorify Him by saving the lost. And I know you're mission-minded. Having planted 3 congregations, Joe said he had been here 23 years and he's been in all 3 of those plants. Isn't that great? You're reaching out to the Springfield community. Thank God for you. And still helping abroad as well. And we thank you for that. Did you notice the scripture reading? Jesus came unto them saying, all authority hath been given unto me, both in heaven and on earth. There's not any authority like Him. Jesus has it all. God's given it to Him because He loved us and paid the penalty for our sin by going to the cross and offering Himself as the perfect Lamb of God. Boy, that's touching, isn't it? You can read the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, teachings to continue after they're converted. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you. Aren't we thankful for that promise that the Lord is with us in all the teaching and follow-up that we do. Mark records that in Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, sheds a little different light. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's every accountable soul. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Luke's account in Luke 24, 46 to 48, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached among all nations. You hear that? All nations. Beginning in Jerusalem. Luke gave us the beginning point in Jerusalem. In John chapter 20, 21 to 23, John penned by inspiration, and whosoever sins ye remit, speaking about the apostles, they shall be remitted unto them. But whosoever sins ye retain. Now we understand the apostles didn't have the power, but it was through their message of preaching the gospel. And when they preached the gospel, in that sense, they could retain or forgive sin by those who heard their message responding to the message. If you look at those, not a one of them says specifically where man's faith in Christ became saving faith. Now we understand that. He that repents and is baptized, one hears the gospel. But I want the verse that specifically encourages us to understand to where we can share with others specifically where our faith saves. Paul, by inspiration, pens in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 7, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Where does faith save? We come to the Roman letter in Romans chapter 6, and Paul, by inspiration, specifically reminds us of where faith saves. If you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. Let's look there for just a moment. I'll have to get my cheaters out to read with you. Romans chapter 6. I want us to begin in verse 1. Now, Paul's writing to saints that are in Rome. I take it from the Roman letter, Paul's never been to Rome. He says in Romans 1 in verse 11 in the introduction, "For I long to see you, that I might impart some spiritual gift." He would have already imparted those gifts, I take it, had he been there. Now, you can study that. You may think he was had already been to Rome, but I personally don't. But he's writing to the church at Rome. He begins Romans 1, I believe it's verse 5, by stressing of Christians having the obedience of faith. That's obedience which comes from our faith in Christ. If you can look there at Romans 1:5, then turn to Romans 16 in verse 26. He ends the book the same way by showing that it's the obedience of faith. Now listen as he writes to those Christians in Romans chapter 6. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We who died to sin, how shall we any longer live therein?" Notice they had died to sin. Where did they die to sin? "Or are ye ignorant that all we," he includes himself, "all we who were baptized into Christ," that's in, from without to within, that's into a relationship to Christ, "were baptized into Christ's death. We were buried, therefore." Where were they buried? When they were baptized. "We were buried, therefore, with Him through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in a newness of life. People who trust in Jesus and are baptized out of a penitent heart, they have a new life when they're raised up. Listen carefully. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. What a beautiful picture of a believer who's put his faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ's atoning death. Come down and let's look at verse 17. But thanks be to God that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching, whereunto you were delivered, and being made free from sin. There it is, isn't it? There's the point where faith saves. The world's filled with people who believes it was before they responded to the gospel and buried the old man and raised up a new man with Christ.